the title of our lesson this morning. I switched the colors three or four times around the outlines of our lesson this morning, and this one's one I came to, and I happened to see a shirt, you know, on the beach that looked kind of had them colors, tie-dyed, and I just like them colors. And I get to choose them, so, you know, there's a few things in your life you get to choose, right? So when you get the opportunity. My rest. If I was going to ask you how restful are you, or what is God's rest for us, what might you think? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, take my yoke upon you, I didn't bring my glasses, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I believe that God's rest is rest for our souls, not only here, but in eternity. But when do you get to rest? You know? Kelly and I took a vacation for a week. Thank you for allowing us to depart from you for a little bit. But driving through the mountains with a ton of traffic on 40 and 26 with traffic, they need three or four lanes there instead of two. Not restful. I thought I could make it all the way home on the way home, driving all the way straight through. And after I got through a stretch of that, the mountains and the traffic, I was tired. I had to admit, you know, I had to rest. There is a rest that's projected in God's holy word for us, but there's also rest, and he had given rest to the people from their trials, from their stress, from wars. I also have to share with you, remember a while back I preached a lesson titled Fish for Breakfast, and most of you still turned up your nose at the idea of fish for breakfast, even though Jesus made fish for breakfast on the seashore for the apostles, the disciples. Well, one of my joys is having shrimp and grits. Well, I went down south twice. I had it once at a mom and pop restaurant and once at a chef prepared restaurant. And for those of you that not, I know, Brother Phil, you might try, okay? I know it sounds, you don't like either one of them, but I'm telling you. I'm going to have to get a recipe and make it, you know. If we ever have breakfast together, maybe I'll make shrimp and grits because it was good both times. I felt at rest when I was eating the shrimp and grits, you know? God's holy word is so precious to us, folks. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this book is written to the world, but more specifically to remind the people of God. I got to come down here. But it's written to the people of God. It applies to all human, all mankind. But all these letters were written to Christians. Paul and the apostles, they wrote all their letters to Christians. And a lot of times we think, well, that's applying to the world. And that's an outreach. But not really so. These were people that had obeyed the gospel. People that were struggling and had stress in their lives. People that were struggling with sin. And for us to recognize that this is great for us to look at this and say, ooh, we're not the only one. Or, ooh, I need to be reminded of that. Well, that's exactly what's going on in my life. My Bible, it's written, it says, many Jewish believers have stepped out of Judaism into Christianity. They want to reserve their course in order to escape persecution by their country. Things got tough. The writer of Hebrews exhorts them to go on to perfection. His appeal is based on the superiority of Christ over the Judaic system. Christ is better than the angels, for they worship him. He is better than Moses, for he created them. He is better than Aaronic priesthood, for his sacrifice was once for all time. He is better than the law, for he mediates a better covenant. In short, there is more to be gained in Christ than to be lost in Judaism.
Pressing on in Christ produces tested faith, self-discipline, and a visible love seen in good works. And I thought that unique, folks. When you say, you know what, I want to do the good thing, I want to be full of love, and I want to do the right thing, but my faith is going to be tested, and I have to have self-discipline. There's some passages that align with that. But I want to read that before we started looking at Hebrews. You know, when we look at Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4 in God's Holy Word this morning. Because of his writing of my rest. I want our rest to be his rest. I want his love to be our love. I want my faith to be the faith that he wants me to have, wants us to have. And the only way we're going to do that is continue to ask God for it. And as we read his passages this morning, apply them to our lives, that's what we're doing. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I'd like for us to take note this morning that those people that tested God, that tried God, that made God angry, they went astray in their heart. We can go down through a plethora of items that they go astray in their hearts. The same things we are tempted about. Whether it is an idol, whether it is lust of the flesh, whether it's pride of life. Same things that tempted back then, we're tempted today. And they've not known my ways. God says they won't enter the rest. Continuing on, and as it says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart, of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, it was not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses. Not with whom he was angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he did swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. I'd like for us to look just a quick minute at obeying and belief. Folks, they're tied together. Saving faith, saving belief is obeying him. It's just not knowing him and saying, I believe. Because you know what? These people believed in God. They'd saw his miracles. They'd been removed from Pharisees' tyranny. They'd been removed from making bricks without straw, working from daylight till dark, maybe even by some type of artificial light. Help us, help us, help us, God. So God helped them. Then they turned around and forgot about it. And whined some more. I don't have enough. I want something different to eat. How many of us folks could get by on just bread and bologna? Maybe you're allergic to bread. I don't know. Maybe you're allergic to bologna. Okay? Pick whatever. Two simple things that you could get by. Okay? Crackers and fish. You know, shrimp. Yeah, shrimp and grits. Yeah. These folks complained about everyday simple things in their life to God. And they quit believing in him. They quit obeying him. And it's the same simple things we get to be complainers. That's why I try to plead with us and I plead with myself. Don't be a hater. Because Jesus was not a hater. Jesus was a lover. And that's who we're following. We want to be able to love our enemies. That's tough. We want to love those people that spitefully use us. I don't know about you. There's some evil people out there. And they don't even know they're evil, folks. That's part of their way. They love drama and they like spiteful stuff.
careful that we don't get caught in that trap. The biggest times in my life, I've probably disappointed my wife and hurt her feelings when I've said something spiteful. And I regret that. It's not restful. When you feel not at rest, maybe you're not following Jesus. Maybe we're not hearing His voice. Maybe we're hardening our heart through the deceitfulness of sin. I know it's tough, folks, for us to examine ourselves. It's tough to look in the mirror and say, Don, what did you do wrong today at the end of the night? Or Don, in the morning, what are you going to do wrong today that you're going to need to repent of? I don't know. But the worst thing that could happen to Don today, tomorrow, or any day forward until I'm called at home is to have my heart hardened and not listen to God. And what hardens our hearts, folks, God's word says, is deceitfulness of sin. And we don't sometimes want to recognize that sin's in our life. Whether it's thoughts, deeds, actions, words, intents. But to recognize in this passage that the deceitfulness of sin hardens our hearts. When I get angry with somebody, okay, is it justifiable anger? Yes. Be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry. We're created in God's image. God gets angry. But like we read, self-control and love go together. Self-discipline and love go together. There's a whole book that mentions controlling the tongue and how dangerous it is in God's holy word. To remind us. Folks, it isn't restful for me in my life. And I don't believe that my rest, according to God's rest, okay? God's rest does not want us to be victors by being spiteful and behaviors. Even if we're right. Even if we've been wronged. And I said, man, I don't want to do that. It's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm so thankful for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it reminds me, hey, Don. Neither did I. I left you an example that walking by faith, there are going to be times when you don't feel good, when you're stressed out, when your faith is tested. But remember me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I will find rest for your soul. I don't know about you, but every week I go through stress somehow, one way or the other, and I want rest for my soul. I want that yoke from Jesus. I want my burden to be light. But unless I turn to Him, unless we turn to Him, my beautiful wife lightens my burdens, okay? But not even close to what Jesus does. And when we expect people to do what Jesus could do, we're going to be disappointed. Or what Jesus is supposed to do in our lives. Who do you turn to for your burdens to be lightened? For your soul to be restored and refreshed? I love rock and roll music. I love good traditional country music. Music helps me get upbeat a lot of times. Unless I'm listening to some of that honky-tonk and then it makes me want to cry. But crying's good for me. Jesus cried. I got an example. Folks, we just need to make sure that our souls aren't restored by just music. Our souls can be restored. Our souls are restored as we sing these words and praises to God. We're reminded of things He's done for us and He does for us. And how His holy word works in our lives. His rest, folks. His rest. Most importantly. Our souls to be restored and be in His rest. Continuing on in Hebrews chapter 4, it is written, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on that seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hardened hearts don't get in to enter in his rest. Hearing his voice does. And I got to thinking about this passage, okay? God works for 6 days in a row and then he takes a break. What kind of rest does God need? He's God. Now he rested all day on the seventh day, okay? Did he do that for his behalf, or did he do it for an example for us? Or both? We don't know for sure. We just know he did rest. And that he's allowed people throughout the history to have rest. What kind of rest does God do, though? I bet you if I ask each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we might have a different idea. Same way with us. Some of us like taking a nap. That's a rest. Some of us think it's a waste. Okay? Sometimes a rest is a good night's sleep. Some of us never have had a good night's sleep. We get up and down, got all kinds of issues that keep us from sleeping all the way through. Whatever it is. But God's rest is the best kind of rest we could have. His rest restores our soul, refreshes us. It's going to be here. We've promised rest now in our lives spiritually, and we've also promised physically rest. We've also been promised eternal rest. God was back then, he's here now, and he's there forever. Same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Unfortunately, back then people still hardened their hearts. Today people still harden their hearts. Don't listen to God. And that's the difference, folks. We can tell between those that are following him and obey him and love him. Okay? Isn't that ironic? It's a thought that just came to me, folks. The best way I can show that I love my wife is to listen to her. And I've been told multiple times in the last month by some coworkers and people at work, and we have a joke going on now because I must be the king interrupter when somebody's talking. Okay? To listen. I don't consider it inconsiderate when I interrupt, but apparently it is. But I recognize and apply God's word to my life in that. And it's almost, folks, borderline not being loving. I'm more important than you when I don't listen. But I want to follow Jesus. I want to be loving. So I need to want to be able to listen to my wife. Even if I don't want to hear what she's talking about. I want to love God and listen to what he has to say, even if I don't want to know what he's telling me. Same thing applies. I want to be loving in my life. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be hearing his voice daily in my life. I just don't want to hear his voice when I cry out to him in times of stress. I really don't. I want him to be saying, forgive that person the way they drive. You don't know what they've went through today or what they're going through now. I want him to be able to say, hold your tongue while you're at work, Don. Think before you speak. Okay? One of my ways I want to show love is I want to tell my fabulous daughter and son-in-law that are in Christ how I think they ought to live. But really, I need to listen. Sometimes they listen. Look at the hand. Hannah's done that once in a while. She hadn't done it recently. Maybe I'm grown. Talk to the hand, Dad. I'm a grown woman here. I don't need that, or I don't want that. But you know what, folks? We do that with our coworkers. We do it with our boss. We do it with each other. Then we start doing it to God. God, I don't want to hear about that today. And that's a dangerous time when we harden our hearts. And I plead with us not to harden our hearts. We're children of the Most High God. Hear his voice. Continuing on in Hebrews, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, folks, this is the passage of Scripture that brought me to this lesson today. And a lot of times, maybe we haven't thought about that, okay? My rest, God's rest. This passage of Scripture talks multiple times about rest. And it's talking to Christians. This isn't the word, I'm going to go get the sword of God out and convict sinners. This is the word of God that convicts those people that are obedient and hearing his voice. And it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give an account. Now to some folks that's a scary thing. But to us, it should be a comfort. It's living and powerful and can help us. How many of us have had a dull knife? God has not given us a butter knife, folks, to live by. It's not a butter knife. Sharpen it. It's the sharpest thing you could have, two-edged sword. We don't have swords too much in our culture today, okay? And most of you are probably too young to know about Ginsu knives, you know, that were years ago. How many of us have sharpened knives? So, you know, you have stones and all kinds of things to sharpen knives. So, files. I trimmed Christmas trees for a handful of years. And I had two machetes in each, you know, the Christmas tree knives about this long. And we sharpened them with a file on both sides. And I had two of them. Some people are only allowed to have one because they cut themselves. I had two, one for each arm. I go around a tree, I can do it twice as fast as the next guy. And just use that as an example, folks. If I had a dull knife and I started trimming that Christmas tree and I couldn't get through all those branches, it took a tremendous amount more time's effort with a dull knife that I did with a sharp knife. And it never came out right. Sometimes it even fold back under and come back in the tree and I'm not going to sharpen my knives. Are we sometimes looking for a rest without a sharp knife? Without the word of God? Without his words, without his power in our lives? Sometimes I think we are, but thanks be to God we have this holy word, his knife, his sword, that helps us. It says, Don, here's what I want you to do. Just like the Zorro Z, right? Don't do that, Don! Love that person, Don. Self-discipline, Don. Watch your tongue, Don. And I'm just using me for example, folks, because I don't want to offend any of you. That's all. But it applies. The same principles apply to all our lives following Him.
To enter His rest, that rest, let us be diligent to enter the rest. There are no dummies in the kingdom of heaven, folks. We've been enlightened. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but when in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not daily in my life, brothers and sisters in Christ, but almost every week, I need to come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace. I just do. I want to be right with God. We should want to be right with God. We should be able to come boldly to God through the throne of grace. And when we can't come boldly to the throne of God, typically our hearts are hardened about something. Either we're angry with God, we're angry with someone else, we're angry with the world. Something. I plead with us, folks, not to get our hearts hardened. We've read this morning multiple passages that hardened hearts turn people away from God and they lose their rest. And they lose rest now, they lose rest eternally. And I plead with us not to let that transpire in our lives. Hold fast our confession. What confession is that? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's my Savior. He's my all in all. As a reminder of the passages we've looked at this morning, my rest, as God says, we need to hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts. Don't go astray in your heart. Know His ways. Beware of an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily, daily, daily. Do not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have become partakers of Christ, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's mentioned again in our passages. Hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. To those who did not obey, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Obedience and belief are tied together, folks, for salvation and for faith that is a saving faith. Now, I'm not going to. We got a whole other page to remember. We want rest, right? I want rest for my soul. These passages in two chapters, Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, folks, a promise remains of entering His rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you're in time of need, brother or sister in Christ, we plead with you to come to that throne of grace. Plead with you to hold that confession. Plead with you to make sure you're in the rest that we've looked at in the scriptures this morning. If you have any need in the congregation to become a Christian, obedient to the faith of Jesus Christ, or if you need prayers of congregation or help in any way, we invite you to make that right as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.